From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Today's text is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28. Perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you not feel in your own soul that perfection is not in you? Does not every day teach you that? Every tear which trickles from your eye weeps imperfection. Every sigh which bursts from your heart cries imperfection. Every harsh word which proceeds from your lips mutters imperfection. You have too frequently had a view of your own heart to dream for a moment of any perfection in yourself. But amidst this sad consciousness of imperfection, here is comfort for you. You are perfect in Christ Jesus. In God's sight, you are complete in Him. Even now, you are accepted in the Beloved. But there is a second perfection yet to be realized, which is sure to all the seed. Is it not delightful to look forward to the time when every stain of sin shall be removed from the believer, and he shall be presented faultless before the throne, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing? The church of Christ then will be so pure that not even the eye of omniscience will see a spot or blemish in her, so holy and so glorious that heart did not go beyond the truth when he said, "With my Savior's garments on, holy as the Holy One." Then shall we know and taste and feel the happiness of this vast but short sentence, complete in Christ. Not till then shall we fully comprehend the heights and depths of the salvation of Jesus. Doth not thy heart leap for joy at the thought of it? Black as thou art, thou shalt be white one day. Filthy as thou art, thou shalt be clean. Oh, it is a marvelous salvation, this. Christ takes a worm and transforms it into an angel. Christ takes a black and deformed thing and makes it clean and matchless in His glory, peerless in His beauty, and fit to be the companion of seraphs. O my soul, stand and admire this blessed truth of perfection in Christ. God of mercy, love, and truth in thee.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. In these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message called Slaves to Sin or to Grace. And the focus is in chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. The Apostle Paul has emphasized that we are not under the law but under grace. That is, the law is not a means of salvation. That comes only by the grace of God through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Paul has also stressed that salvation does not depend on any merit or works of the sinner. He wrote, "We are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is showing that every member of the human race is a slave, either to sin or to grace. Indeed, each person willingly presents himself or gives himself deliberately to the dominion of either the devil or God. Fallen man has no power to deliver himself from slavery to sin. Believers in Jesus Christ are freed from slavery to sin as they obey from the heart the message of the gospel. They wholeheartedly embrace God's way of saving sinners. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Slaves to Sin or to Grace?
This obedience, and you've got to understand this because Paul is not contradicting himself, saying you're saved by faith, now you're saved by obeying. What he means, he refers to in chapter 1, verse 5, the obedience to the faith, or as the marginal reference puts it, obedience of faith. He repeats that at the very end of the epistle in chapter 16, verse 26, where he says that the gospel is now made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God is made known to all nations for obedience to the faith or for the obedience of faith. What's this obedience? It's the obedience of faith. That little word of leads to dozens of pages of discussions on technical books of Greek grammar. The word of is so small, but it's so often so important. In this connection, it means either the obedience that belongs to faith, or the obedience that springs from faith, or as I believe better still, the obedience that is faith. What he's talking about is a faith that is inside and that is manifested by obedience. It's a faith obedience. That seems to be his idea. It was certainly the idea of his master, the Lord Jesus Christ. For in John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." So this obeying from the heart, this obedience is faith that obeys the command of the gospel. I want you to notice that this faith obedience is from the heart. In other words, it is the submission of the whole mind and will to the truth and terms of the gospel. Notice what I said. It's submitting the whole mind and will to the truth and terms of the gospel. People think that faith is a matter just of the head. It's not. Romans chapter 10, remember verse 9. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes," verse 10. With the heart man believes. You know, when people refuse to believe the gospel, they sometimes try to cloak their problem by presenting it as an intellectual problem. "I have intellectual problems with the gospel." Man, don't fool yourself. What you have is a heart problem. A will that is governed by sin, rebellion, lawlessness, wickedness, that rejects God and His Christ. It's a heart problem. It's with the heart that man believes unto righteousness. Therefore, Paul is saying here, this obedience is from the heart. I have often quoted the words of the old Scottish theologian Thomas Halliburton. To me, this was such a simple statement and yet such a profound statement. And certainly it's what Paul's statement here in Romans 6 is. Faith is a hearty acceptance of God's way of saving sinners. Faith is throwing out all the rubbish of our own self-righteousness, all the dependence on what we have ever been, thought, done, or said. And we come to God and recognize His way of saving sinners as set forth in the gospel and say, "This is the way, I want no other way." And there is the submission of the mind to the truth of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, that He rose again the third day according to the scripture. And there is the submission to the terms of the gospel: repent and believe the gospel. That's how man's saved. This obedience is from the heart. Notice the third thing, that it embraces that form of doctrine which was delivered you. The word "form of doctrine" here should not be misunderstood. If I tell you that we follow that form of faith that's expressed in the Westminster Confession of Faith, you would say, "Well, we're following that variety, that emphasis, that exposition of the Christian faith. We're not saying that there's no salvation outside of those who follow the doctrinal system of the Westminster Confession, but we're saying that's the form that we follow." And so when you come to this passage and Paul says that you've believed and you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, you might think that's what he means, but it's not what he means. Far, far from what he means. He's not talking about some shade of truth. He's talking about the central, fundamental, inescapable truth apart from which a man or a woman cannot be saved. The word form is translated in various ways in the New Testament. When in John 20:25 we read of Thomas wanting to see the print of the nails in Jesus' hands, this is the word that's used. In Acts 7:43 you have Stephen speaking of idols that men made to worship, and he calls them figures made to be worshipped. This is the word that he used. When Claudius Lysias wrote to Felix a letter about Paul the Apostle, he said he wrote in a certain manner or a certain form. That's the word that's used. Remember, we made much of the fact in Romans 5:14 that Adam is a figure of Christ, a type of Christ. That's the word that's used. Just in passing, let me just throw out something. For sometimes, always a little knowledge is dangerous. You hear sometimes some criticism of the authorized version of the scriptures because it will translate the same word in 10 different ways. Well, I've just given you a variety of texts in which the same word, the word that gives us the English word type, it's used. But you would never say when Thomas wanted to see the mark of the nails in Jesus' hand that he was looking for a type. No, no, he was looking for the print of the nails. It's a good translation. So there's good reason oftentimes for the variety of the English as it translates the same word in Greek. This word actually is most commonly translated as an example, having the idea of a pattern. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them, the children of Israel, for in samples, and they're written for our admonition. In Philippians 3:17 he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample or example. We're the pattern. I think, you know, this is getting to the heart of this word, that we have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. The word form means something that is normative. It creates the norm. It is formative. It is the guiding principle. It is the rule of that doctrine. That Paul is saying, you have obeyed from the heart the guiding principle or the rule of that doctrine. What doctrine is he talking about? What rule is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the doctrine he has been expounding throughout Romans. The doctrine of grace. The doctrine of free justification. The doctrine that God condemned us in Adam, but by grace he receives us in Christ, and he imputes to us the merits of the righteousness of Christ, putting away our sin by his grace through Christ's merits without any input of our works. That's the great doctrine. And he's saying, you have obeyed from the heart that rule, that norm of all Christian doctrine. This is a great text, you know. This is the norm. This is how you judge all preaching. This is how you judge all doctrine. This is how you judge whether churches are standing or falling, being faithful or unfaithful. This is the normative and formative doctrine of the Christian religion. And Paul says, you have obeyed this from your heart. Now here is an amazing thing. And I think our translators didn't quite get why Paul wrote what he wrote. Because their translation is done to make it read good in English. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Doesn't that make good sense? You had this delivered to you and you obeyed it. You believed it. That makes good sense. And it's true. But it's not what Paul said. What he said was, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You have obeyed that form of doctrine unto which you were handed over. Now what does that mean? Remember that this whole passage has to do with slaves and slavery. He's saying God took you out of the thraldom of sin, delivered you from that evil master, and he handed you over to grace. You once were a slave of sin. He took you and he handed, and that's the idea in the word delivered, he handed you over to grace. Thus we read, verse 18, having been made free from sin, ye became, I think I prefer a stronger rendering, ye were made the slaves of righteousness. Literally, ye were enslaved to righteousness. That's the glorious change that God makes. This is why I love the gospel. You can go anywhere with the gospel. You can meet any kind of people with the gospel. You can go to the up and out or the down and out. You can go to the rich or the poor. You can go to any part of the world. It's the same gospel. And what does it say? It says, as Colossians 1:13 puts it, that the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He has taken us out of the thraldom of sin and he's handed us over to grace. Man, that's a beautiful picture. A beautiful picture. Righteousness is now the ruling force in us. We're slaves of righteousness, slaves of justification. That is, justification meaning pardon and acceptance with God. Justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ is now the governing principle, the master of our minds, the master of our will, which now commands our obedience. And that leads me to the last thing I've got to say. And it is this, verse 19 through 23. As slaves, we live according to the rule of our master. Notice what Paul says in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. What he means is, given the weakness of our understanding, and I have to confess, as I have studied Romans, I understand what he means about the weakness of our understanding. I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours going through, pondering, reading what other people think, trying to come to grips with the massive thought of the greatest theologian. I know he's inspired, and therefore his word is inerrant, but even in human terms, the greatest theologian, the greatest mind the world has ever seen, and coming to grips with the depths of what he's saying here, I have understood how weak my understanding is. And I have no doubt that as you have listened to me, you've said, I wish we had a preacher who could make it clear to us, because we feel how weak our understanding is. Well, Paul took this into consideration. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. He says, almost apologetically, what I'm doing here, I'm using the imagery from the slave market just to try and take these great, great theological truths and bring them down to a level that you can relate to and you can understand. A slave can be a slave only to one master at a time. In this case, verse 19, we were slaves to, the idea is impurity, uncleanness. We were also slaves to lawlessness. You see, here are two things. Lusting after uncleanness. Those are the lusts of the flesh. And repudiating every restraint that God's law would place upon us. And you'll notice how it multiplies. Impurity. Lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, which would lead to more impurity, which would lead to more lawlessness. It's a downward spiral to the very dark depths of hell. That's sin reigning. I wonder, are you there tonight? I wonder, as you sit in God's house tonight, is that where you are? Where sin is the dominating force. It is the ruling, reigning principle, the monarch of your mind and of your will. You've been handed over. You've handed yourself over into his hands.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.